Everybody, welcome to the Friday Filibuster, the lightning round edition, or the abridged edition, I guess. Is that the way? The Cliff Notes, maybe, Mac? Is that the way you want to call it?
Sure.
It's Mac and Dave here. Eric may or may not be joining us, but we'll just kind of wing it. We're just both lamenting the craziness of our weeks. I know I've got some reviews to get on and get on top of, and Mac, you know, you said you've been pretty fatigued as well, so this will be kind of a fun-size filibuster. Is that, how about that? Fun-size filibuster? Does that make it sound better?
Sure.
So let's get right to it, Mac. And do you have anything to report?
Yeah, let's see. Well, I saw Expendables 2.
Yes, I knew. I had heard you were going, so I'm interested in your take. I have not seen it.
It's kind of a mixed bag. I guess I'm being too kind. It's a mess.
It is, really?
Yeah.
Did you like the first one?
The first one was kind of fun, but it, too, was a little bit of a mess.
Yeah.
And it's like, but in the first one, though, you know, amid all of the fighting and the explosions and whatnot, there was the question raised of, you know, what are these guys really fighting for? You know, Stallone and his buddies, they're mercenaries. And the question is raised of, you know, what are they fighting for? Is it the money or is it something else? And this movie doesn't really have that element of the story. This movie is just, okay, Van Damme is the bad guy. Van Damme steals the disc, and it's like, uh-oh, we got to go get the disc back. And that's pretty much your whole plot right there.
Now, talk to me about Van Damme.
He's all right in the movie. He's pretty good. I wonder if he wasn't being, like, really smart because by not being in the first one, because that created a demand for him.
Ah, yeah.
And now he got a much bigger part in the sequel, now that he has that demand, the Van Demand.
The Van Damme Demand.
Yes.
Nice. Now, and Chuck Norris, essentially a cameo, correct?
A glorified cameo. He's in, I think, two or three scenes. He's all right. He shows he has some sense of humor about himself.
Schwarzenegger, a more robust role?
Yes. Yeah, that's what I was saying. You know, the movie's a mess, and nothing really happens in it, but there are just enough moments of awesomeness to keep you going throughout the movie. And there is a shot where it's Stallone, Arnold, and Bruce Willis, the three of them, they're in the same shot.
Yeah.
They're walking towards the camera and firing machine guns right at the camera.
Excellent.
And I think, you know, the whole movie should have just been 2 hours of that on a loop. but, yeah, it begins with a huge action scene, and in this huge action scene, Jet Li takes on a whole room full of guys. And he's really great. He's doing all these cool move after cool move after cool move. And it was like, man, Jet Li is just going to steal this whole movie away from the rest of the guys. But after that one action scene, he didn't really do anything else in the rest of the movie.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, that was a disappointment.
Dolph? What about our boy Dolph?
He's kind of been degraded to comic relief.
Okay. All right. Well, this kind of saddens me. I'm not sure if I'm going to pony up the dollars to see it.
Yeah. Randy Couture has maybe one line. Terry Crews, he has one scene with that big gun again, because we remember that from the first movie.
That's right.
Jason Statham, he doesn't have much of a story role as he did in the first one, but he's got some pretty awesome hand-to-hand moves.
Yeah. Nothing can beat the stupidity of the basketball court fight.
Right. But no, I was his fight scenes, his hand-to-hand stuff was pretty awesome.
All right, man. Well, that is a shame. All right.
So, you know, a few moments of awesomeness in what's otherwise kind of a mess of a movie.
Now, did you see Paranorman as well?
Yes, I saw that earlier today.
All right.
So I'm in gut reaction mode to that. Well, first, a correction. In last week's podcast, I said that Paranorman was made by Studio Pathé in France. I was wrong.
Oh, okay.
It's produced by Studio Leica, which I think is in Seattle.
Well, there's no way you can say that. We get the staff at the Friday Filibuster don't fact check now. So,
right,
you know?
Yeah.
And if we get something wrong, we'll make note of it. So, how did that grab you?
I'm still trying to put my finger on it. I'm kind of like, I'm not sure how I feel about it.
Yeah.
It's.
I remember the trailer making me laugh pretty robustly. So.
Yeah. You know, it's produced by the same folks that produced Coraline, which is
right,
which I really enjoyed. But it didn't really have the wow factor that Coraline did. It's kind of an ugly movie. Everything's just very kind of ugly. All of the characters get like these extreme close-ups. I mean, anytime there's a longish stretch of dialogue, it's done in extreme close-up with the characters' faces just filling the whole screen. And I guess the idea is because, you know, the animators are showing off how they've got these, you know, armatures with all these, you know, very flexible faces. They can really act with the characters, you know, because the armatures are so detailed.
Yeah.
Which is good. I like that. But it's also sort of just grotesque to have these sort of, you know, misshapen characters and their faces are like right up to the camera.
Wait, are we still talking about the Expendables too?
Yes, okay. That too.
Nice. Oh, hey, by the way, actually not by the way, because he's not misshapen, but let me bring Eric in. He just jumped, so we want to... Hello, Eric.
Hey, I'm here.
Yeah, here he is. All right. We're just... Mac was just regaling us his exploits of seeing Paranorman this earlier today, so...
I look forward to listening to those when I download the podcast later this week. I mean, right now.
So, yeah, anything else? So just to recap, Expendables 2, disappointing. Paranorman sounds like it was disappointing. I mean, if you're not walking out of the theater, I don't know, feeling pretty good, then it doesn't sound like a win.
Yeah, I was kind of walking out of my theater, kind of scratching my head going, what did I just see?
Yeah.
There are some good points to it. You know, some of the characters are kind of humorous. I really like the older sister character is really funny. And they do some really neat stuff. There's one of this, like, I guess this isn't a spoiler, but like a ghost character has this effect where she's like glowing from within, you know? And the effect is very simple. They just have a light inside the armature that they can click on and off, but it's really effective and it looks really good. And they could simulate that in CGI, but it just wouldn't be the same without that sort of tactile feel of the armatures. Cause you know, when this light is inside of her, she's really, you know, it really is a light coming from inside this little person.
Well, it sounds like just the doldrums of August. That's what it sounds like.
Yes, yeah. So, yeah, I guess both movies completely different, but, you know, just kind of disappointing, but with some good points. You know?
All right. Kind of like this podcast. All right. Eric, what do you got?
I haven't seen anything new lately. I'm going to talk a little video game talk.
Excellent.
I have played the first two episodes of the Walking Dead video game. And this is done by Telltale Games, the guys who do Monkey Island, and they did a Back to the Future game. And
they do the Lego games.
Oh, no, that's
Traveler's Tales.
Okay.
Dang
second there, I thought, did I say the wrong thing? No.
Me and my fact-checking.
That's okay. That's okay. You cut yourself. Yeah, so these are the sort of point-and-click adventure guys. They kind of branched off doing some new things. Very good at episodic gaming, so they'll put out this... you know, five episodes and they come out monthly. So, as part of my PlayStation Plus membership, they gave the first two, made the first two episodes free. So I played them and, I've been pretty clear on the podcast on my feelings about the TV show, at least the first season. I was not a fan. But these games are really, this game is really cool. I like it a lot. It draws a lot more from apparently the comic book, than the TV show. There's really nothing in the game that has anything to do with the TV show. You play a whole new character, there's all a bunch of, you know, you come across other various characters as you're trying to survive. And, it's very much kind of like a interactive story more than anything else. The way, you play it's got kind of a comic book look, kind of an animated comic book look. It's very gory, very, you know, a lot of swearing, a lot of, you know, adult stuff. So it's definitely not for the kids. But that kind of makes it cool. So you go and you decide how you're going to respond to people and your decisions change alliances and who you decide to save and not save and all those kind of things, play in. And it carries over from episode to episode.
All right. Nice.
I guess there's not too much discussion about it. It's good. I mean, I think if you have a chance to play it and you know, if this is coming from someone who did not like the TV show. And is not a big fan of zombies in general, but the second episode especially has some really cool twists that I will not spoil. So that's kind of mostly what I've been doing.
All right. I got nothing really going on here. My wife is actually capitalizing on the cable that we got just to watch the Olympics. We haven't canceled it yet because she's hooked on House Hunters International. So, and actually, it's kind of an interesting show, I will say.
House Hunters, it's better have cable.
House Hunters International, that's for sure.
Yes.
So I'll give it that much. But yeah, it's relatively interesting.
Is that the same franchise? Blank Hunters International.
I think so. Blank Hunters, right? I think things will be followed up by a pornographic film at some point. I'm sure. So we'll see what happens. But let's speaking of pornography, let's continue on to what we've got going in the docket. So Mac, what do you have?
Oh well, that was the perfect segue.
Yes.
It's already on the site. You can read the review right now. But it's a comedy from 1983, I believe, called Joysticks. This was the glory days of the video arcade. There was one in every mall.
Right.
And this is sort of before home gaming was a thing. So the only place to play video games was at the arcade. Right. And that's our setting for the movie. It's your basic 80s teen comedy. But instead of, oh, we have to save the summer camp or we have to save the roller rink, it's we have to save the arcade.
Yeah.
And so our hero is Jeff Bailey, who is, he's the coolest guy in town because he's the manager of the video arcade. And
that matches up with what I recall from my childhood. The manager of the arcade was always the coolest guy in town. Yeah, that sounds right.
His two employees is the Eugene, who's the nerd. He's got the glasses and the bow tie.
That's the name Eugene, right?
Mm-hmm. And his other employee is Mick Dorfus, who is the wacky fat guy who's constantly eating.
It really was a staple of these kind of teen sex whatever comedies to have like a fat guy who may or may not be cognitively disabled, perhaps. It's amazing how that. I've reviewed a few of my day here. Always the same, always the same character. So I guess the archetypes just never change.
And of course, Joe Don Baker plays the villain. And you talk about the old white man cabal in this movie. He's the rich white man who's getting the city council on his side to shut down that darn video.
Excellent. That's good.
Well, it would all be turned on its head when the Wayne's World movie with Noah's Arcade being the arcade being the villain in that movie.
Oh, wow.
If I remember correctly, and I probably don't.
Yeah, through the looking glass, people.
And your segue, Dave, was perfect because about once every 2 seconds, a girl in this movie takes off her top.
Oh, really?
Constant topless scenes.
See, yeah. I am surprised by that because I've also found that a lot of these kind of overplay that, the sleazy aspect, but I mean, it's really not. It's pretty, it's pretty lame and pretty tame, really, when you think about it, but I'm surprised Joysticks actually delivers on, maybe it sounds like it's right up there with Strike Back season one.
they go for it when it comes to the movie. Right.
Which I think also is pretty accurate as far as the arcade scene.
That's right. That's right. A lot of nudity in those Singertown Square arcade.
There's a lot of shirts v skins Mortal Kombat play.
Because when I was playing Arkanoid, I couldn't. I'm going to concentrate because of all those gorgeous topless blondes. All right. Well, sounds like Joysticks is a winner. Sounds like it's probably better than the two theatrical films you just saw. So maybe more entertaining. All right, Eric, how about you? What do you have?
This week I'm reviewing a new box set coming out from Shout Factory called Steve Martin, the television stuff. And it's pretty cool. It's a three-disc set. It collects six of his TV specials from back in the late 70s, early 80s. A lot of stuff that I'd never seen any of this stuff before. So it's pretty cool. There are a couple of them are stand-up specials. One is an HBO special from, I think, 79. So it was back when HBO still had dots between the letters. Nice. Which is kind of interesting. A lot of his material, it's kind of a longer version of some of the stuff that would show up in like some of his early SNL monologues and stuff, but he's a great stand-up comedian, obviously. But the real kind of surprise of the set are these specials that he did for NBC where they're basically like sketch comedy specials. And there's one where it's just super bizarre stuff, almost kind of like state-like or Monty Python-like. There's one in which he is, he's haggling with a guy over buying a car. And they go over to walk over to the car, and it's revealed that the car is like upside down with its wheels in the air, and he's kicking the tires and checking it. And I don't know, something about it just kind of seemed awfully funny to me. So it's pretty good. There's, one of the specials is actually almost like a lost episode of Saturday Night Live, like from the early years, because it was, I think it was from 84. Lorne Michaels produced it. It was a live show. They did it in the Saturday Night Live studios, and their guest appearances by Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi and Bill Murray and Lorraine Newman. So it's cool stuff. And there's also a whole disc of just bits and pieces of stuff, like early Tonight Show performances and some of his kind of classic, SNL monologues and, just a bunch of stuff. So it's pretty cool. People, if you're a Steve Martin fan, look out for it when it comes out.
I think I remember seeing some of those sketch comedy specials back in the day, thinking they were really good.
Yeah. I was really impressed by the ones that really focus on him. There's one called, I think it's called like All the Commercials or Nothing But Commercials or something like that. And, it's the weakest of them, mostly because it had that like early 80s variety show thing of bringing on all these random celebrities. And they kind of do a lot of the sketches themselves. Steve Martin's not in it as much. So it's kind of weaker. Although, notably one of those random celebrities is a young Paul Rubens. So that's pretty fun to see. So. Worth watching.
All right. Let's see. How about some Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the first season? So this brings back. So I was probably a little too old to watch it, but I do remember a few things. Like, let's see. Here's what I remember about Mighty Morphin Power Rangers: the fact that they apparently thought that the target audience was so oblivious they wouldn't notice that the slight figured yellow ranger girl. You know, turns into a man with a noticeable crotch bulge when the Rangers hit. So there's that. And then Amy Jo Johnson, need I say more? She just rocks it in Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. But beyond that, it's just really dated and hilarious and ridiculous. Like, you know, just everything is so heavy-handed. There's the two girls are trying to battle the local toxic waste dump.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's like they go the Angel Grove Industrial Waste Dump. That's like, and they go Torah, and it's just like it literally is just exposed pools of acid and sludge and open barrels of sludge. I mean, it really was. So I don't know if this is. So somebody needs to tell me if this actually happened in the early 90s. You know, is that how we were disposing of our toxic waste? Because it does not seem safe. And they're just, it's pretty funny. So, got to give it up for toxic waste. And then there's, I don't know, it's just pretty goofy. Like the stupid Blue Ranger is like, you know, you want to talk about Eugene, the stereotypical nerd. This douchebag takes it. I mean, Billy. Like, just socially retarded, and he says he's like affirmative, negative. You know, that's how he talks.
Oh, cause he's the smart one.
He's the smart one. So they have him talking in like Chinese stereo manual jargon or something. So it's just, I don't know. So I'm actually kind of enjoying it cause it's so terrible. You know, like Rita, you know, Rita, the evil sorceress Rita.
Oh man, I knew that.
Yeah. She was set free, like literally, like the pilot episode, I believe, is called, let me see, pilot episode, Day of the Dumpster. That's the title of the pilot episode, because she was imprisoned in a space dumpster and then let free. Oh, yeah, unbelievable.
So there might be something lost in the translation there.
Well, yeah, definitely. 30 episodes worth, by the way.
Wow. 30 episodes. And that's just volume one?
Discs.
Yeah, that's just volume one of season one. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. I love that, like, and the monsters are just progressively crazier, like, yeah. You know, obviously these, you know, so all this, you know, half of the show is lifted from, you know, a Japanese show, but you're getting, like, killer leprechauns, right? They were in a carnival and they fight clowns, like, legitimately scary clowns, I have to say, and, it's just really weird, so. But I do enjoy taking this trip.
I watched the very first episode of Power Rangers when it premiered. And after it was over, I was like, well, this crap will never be popular.
Yep.
Can't be wrong.
You can't be wrong. Right. That was not, as Kimberly, our beloved Pink Ranger, says, not a morpherific statement. That's what she says. So, yeah, but, yep. So, that's it. Nothing. Pretty crazy. So let's continue on, Mac. Let's move forward here.
All right. Let's take a look at what's coming out next week on DVD and Blu-ray. We're going to go to DVDverdict.com click on the upcoming DVD releases tab. There was scroll down and hit the link for the cover art gallery for August 28th.
And there's Battleship.
Oh, Battleship. Oh, man.
Yikes. Let's see. It's got a explosive and action-packed. That's the accolade. That's sepulchral. Oh, this one includes the Blu-ray, the DVD, the digital copy, and the Ultraviolet movie.
So no matter where you are in the world, you'd be able to watch Battleship.
That's right. You cannot. Wow. Nowhere to run.
There's a bunch of Alfred Hitchcock Blu-ray releases, I think, and kind of in advance of the like giant, like every Alfred Hitchcock movie set coming out in late September, including the best film of all time, Vertigo, apparently.
That's right. That's right. There's one of my favorite new shows last year. That's season two starting pretty soon, Homeland.
All right.
Highly recommended.
A show Dave, you, and I think still enjoy, Sons of Anarchy, season 4.
Is that finally coming out? Yes, I've been waiting for a while.
Yeah.
Haven't seen it. That's one of my live-by-the-DVD shows.
Yeah, me too.
Hey, you just mentioned The Walking Dead. Look at this, a deluxe edition.
Oh, yeah.
With it's a zombie's head with a screwdriver sticking out of its eye, and the discs are stored inside the zombie head's neck.
It's like a Pez dispenser.
It is, yeah.
The Lord of the Rings extended editions are being released separately.
Yeah, so as are the. As are the Jurassic Park movies.
Yeah, I do have the Jurassic Park set though.
Yeah, me too.
Two out of three of them are good. I have yet to revisit the Lost World because I fear the gymnastics scene.
Yes,
fear it.
It's not. You know, it's not as bad as you make it out to be.
It is bad. I fear it.
It's brief. It's brief though. I'm saying.
So
like, it's like 30 seconds.
It's like ripping off a Band-Aid.
Here's a movie I haven't watched yet. I'm actually looking forward to it. I have to review The Viral Factor. So really kind of hoping it's one of those, you know, under-the-radar gems, overseas gems. And as much as I haven't watched Walking Dead either in a long, long time, but that set, that deluxe set is something to look at, that's for sure.
Okay.
I know, where are you going to put that? That's right. Yeah, but right, this is right next to the ashes of our grandfather.
All right, honey, go to sleep or else I'm putting the Walking Dead box set in your room.
I got our 8-year-old the greatest present.
So I missed The Pirates when it was in theaters. It's another stop-motion animation, claymation. So,
from Nick Aardman, right?
Right, or at least his studio. I don't think he directed. But, it was released like just before Avengers and kind of got lost in Avengers hype.
This is odd. The Lucky One, different cover art. I wonder what the third one, what makes the third one different? Yeah.
And that's a little more, in the moment, if you know what
I think
mean.
So. It's
more like the getting lucky one on that one. Know what I'm saying.
That's right. I do have this to review. I'll give you a heads up. Jersey Shore Shark Attack is on my All right.
They came up with the title first, then wrote the movie?
I think so. Yeah, they work back. They work from that way on. All right, well, any release on a DVD release of the week. We'll continue. Obviously, purchased to support DVD Verdict, so lots of stuff here. But anyway, Mac, why don't you go first?
Inadvertently sleazy sounding, huh? There's some good ones here.
Yeah.
How about From the Bush to the Valley?
That's good.
Okay,
that's,
that was mine. All right.
Winner.
All right.
No.
What do we got?
It's a winner.
Put all my eggs in that basket, as it were. Let's find another one here. How about Headhunters?
Not bad. I'm going to go with Fist of the Reich. Very, so it appeals to a very select audience, I think.
Yes.
Okay, let's wrap this up with our ambush topics. You know how this works, so let's get right into it. Eric, why don't you go first?
All right, Freaky Deaths.
Freaky Deaths. I can't use the pruning shears from Exodus 3 already. We just used that.
I didn't have the same topic last week, did I?
No, it's a good one.
Okay.
All right. We did mention this last week, but it's always worth talking about. But Toxic Waste Man from RoboCop.
Oh, yeah. That's a classic.
I mean, it fits nicely with our previous discussion of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers handling of the topic. So, but yeah, that's a winner, man. That's just like, yeah. I'm not sure. I mean, obviously the makeup effects and all that, you know, make it disturbing. But I don't know what else. Maybe just kind of so surprising. It kind of comes out of nowhere.
And I think the fact that he's all melting together.
Yeah, it's just that overall disturbing moment.
I guess the first one that comes to mind, I don't know why, but is the guy that gets eaten by King Kong.
Which one?
The original. We get the extreme close-up of one of the natives.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Kong's attacking the village.
Was that edited out? Was that one of the scenes that had been edited out or something?
It might have been.
Yeah.
First, there's the shot of Kong stepping on the guy.
Right.
Mm. And then he picks one up, and there's the shot of the guy in Kong's mouth, and he's just screaming like hell. Yeah.
And I'll add an addendum to yours, Mac. King Kong Lives, one of my favorite little terrible movies.
The 70s, right?
No. This was the Linda Hamilton was in this one. This was like the 80s. It was like it was a sequel. It was a direct sequel to King Kong.
Right.
They gave him a heart transplant. Remember?
Okay. Yeah. So I'm
heart
thinking
transplant.
Of 70s
he knocks
Kong,
off his wife, so. Then he gets someone. He knocks off the female gorilla, and then some hunters trap him in a cave-in, and he goes crazy, and he like eats one of the hunters, and the more disturbing one was he breaks one in half.
Right. Yeah. That part.
That's right. So that kind of freaked me out when I was younger watching that. Linda Hamilton's inadvertent nipple slip kind of made me.
Of all the destruction that King Kong causes, somehow getting eaten by him is like the worst.
Yeah.
Well, I doubt he brushes his teeth.
Yeah, I don't think so.
All right, so mine inspired by Fringe watching has continued.
Yes.
Full steam. I'm kind of midway through season two right now.
Oh, what do you think so far, by the way?
I like it.
What do you think of the end scene of the first season?
That was pretty, intense. I think when the show was on, I think I'd heard.
Okay.
I mean, about the guest star at the end there.
Yeah, right. I
forgot.
The pullback show.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty crazy. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Right,
I like
good.
It. I mean, there are things that they have not revealed yet that I'm pretty sure I figured out pretty early on, but that's neither here nor there. Anyway, it's good. I like it a lot. There was one episode I watched recently, and I'll just mention the manner of deaths in this one. There is sort of this smoke creature that basically turns people into living piles of ash. Not living, but they're dead, like a pile of ash.
Yeah.
And when someone touches them, half of them just collapses because there's nothing holding them together. And just the shots of like their partially collapsed bodies, it's pretty freaky.
They do.
That was a good effect.
There's some stuff in Fringe that gets under your skin. There's some stuff that gets under your skin.
Yeah.
So, I think this is actually a pretty rich topic because you talk about face melting guy in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of them have to do like when I watch stuff that I watched when I was younger that really kind of affected me. So. Okay, I'll go next. Sprinting through the woods.
Well, I mean, come on, any Friday the 13th movie, right?
There you go. That's right.
The classic cliche is that the horny teenager is just running and running and running because he's trying to get away from Jason, and he's just walking slowly. She's running and she's running and he's walking slowly, and she goes around a corner and oh no, he's right in front of her.
That's right. So she essentially either walked around in circles.
Right.
Or he's like Nightcrawler or something.
The fans call that teleporting Jason.
Okay.
Well, I think, obviously when you're that horny, you don't know where you're running.
That's right.
Exactly. You're just going all over the place,
I'm being attacked by the psycho, but I'm still so horny. I'm going to die, but I'm horny.
I like that we can talk about being horny the same way we talk about just having acne as a teenager. I can't get rid of.
That's right.
I got this horny on my face and I can't get rid of it.
I just came back from the arcade. I'm so horny. What a topless women. We got a lot of synergy working on this podcast.
I know. All right. Well, kind of moving totally away from that particular topic. I'm gonna go with E.T. running through the woods at the beginning of that movie. being chased by the men with either walkie-talkies or guns, depending on which version you watch.
Oh, that's right. Yes. They are NASA, obviously, right?
Yeah. Actually, was that where the change was, or was it at the end of the movie? Mac, do you know? I'm asking you.
The guns to walkie-talkie things?
Yeah.
It's most obvious at the end of the movie.
Okay, all right.
I'm not sure about the beginning.
I really have not seen that movie since I first saw it.
Really?
Really? In 1982 or whatever?
I was late to it, but it was probably late 80s. So.
Okay.
So E.T. is mobile, that mobile, that he can split through the woods?
He's in the movie.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, well, the new one, they have a CGI E.T. running. In the original one, the puppet or the animatronic was actually on a little wheeled thing that they pulled through the woods.
Gotcha.
For that shot.
Well, okay. You didn't take either of mine, so I'll just throw them out to you. My number two one would be obviously Apocalypto, where the entire half of the movie is Jaguar Power just running, running like Usain Bolt. And my first one, though, I think the ultimate is, of course, Last of the Mohicans, right?
Yeah.
It is just Daniel Day-Lewis running very fast through foliage. It's pretty much a travelogue if you cut away a lot of the plot about the fort and the canoes. It's Daniel Day-Lewis running through the woods. So, all right, finish this up, Mac.
All right, easy one. Snakes.
All right, just so I saw it recently on TV because it's always on TV. But Conan the Barbarian. Good snake action, especially the big, the giant snake is good. But my favorite is James Earl Jones turning into a snake, which I still don't quite understand.
I've told you before, the director's commentary, it says that they left it unexplained on purpose.
Oh, okay, thanks.
So that it would seem magical and mysterious.
All right, well, it worked. It worked. And I like these snake arrows as well. A lot of snake action.
Oh, yeah, the snake arrows.
Snake arrows is good stuff. So they really took the snake motif and really maximize it, I would say.
I want to go with end of Pee-wee's Big Adventure when he goes into the rest of all the pets from the pet store and comes out with all the snakes.
Yes. That's good.
Classic.
Wow. We have multiple Paul Rubens references here.
There are certain through lines. One is pornography and one is Paul Rubens. I
don't know. maybe an alert reader can email us for the first time in 5 years and let us know. All right, Mac. You got the baton.
All right. From the mid-90s, we had Anaconda.
Yes. That did occur to me as well.
With the over-the-top performance by John Voight.
Yeah, partially digested John Voight. Doesn't get much better, right?
Exactly, yeah. The anaconda swallows him, then rouses him back up, and partially digested John Voight, he actually winks, then falls over and dies.
PDJV. Always good. Always good for a laugh. All right, well, no better way to end that this entire enterprise than on that, so... Eric, Mac, thank you for pitching in. Friday Filibuster at DVDVerdict.com is our email. Thank you for listening. Purchase stuff and support DVD Verdict. And Mac, take it away.
I know you are, but what am I?